Episode 1. Today marks the beginning of my 10th annual mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. It all began 10 years ago in the year of the Holy Spirit in 1998 on the 4th of October. That was the first Sunday of the month that year. And the first Sunday in October is always Respect for Life Sunday. And I said to myself, what should I preach about? As a young priest, I wanted to give an inspirational pro-life homily that involved both the readings and the topic of respect for life. But where should I begin? There were just too many topics. Topics literally from the womb to the tomb. Thousands of attacks against the dignity of human life from the pre-born child in the womb to the elderly and to everyone in between. If I gave a sermon on all these wonderful respect for life topics, the homily would be too long. So what should I do? And then, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and using the readings from sacred scripture as the foundation, I decided that every Sunday in October, I would preach on a different topic regarding the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. And so the October Pro-Life mini-series was born. And thanks be to Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, here we are 10 years later on Respect for Life Sunday, October the 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2007. And what a great 10 years it has been. We've seen many changes in the past 10 years. Now, thanks to modern technology and a little help from my friends, people can now listen to these pro-life sermons around the world, listening now in 4 different continents on the globe to the Church's beautiful moral teaching. These topics are becoming more and more popular. Yesterday, I received 2 phone calls from my priest friends. I haven't heard from them for a couple of months, but yesterday, 2 priest friends called, and one said on his message, he said, "Are you going to be preaching on life again this October?" And he says, "If you are, coraggio, courage, keep up the good work." The other one of my priest friends told me he was just made pastor of a very small parish in Illinois. And he said, "I am going to preach on life every Sunday in October, just like you do." Thanks be to God. What a great blessing these 10 years have been. Some people absolutely love it. They can't wait till the next episode. They drive great distances just to hear this beautiful teaching. And other people hate it. They can't stand it. They take this opportunity in October to go someplace and look at the leaves. They are too busy with the harvest, because these topics are too difficult. It's kind of like Jesus, isn't it? Either you hate him or you love him, but there's no in between. But whether you hate these topics or love them, I try to remain indifferent, for I am a useless servant, and it's my job to preach the gospel. And that's what I've done for 10 years, whether in season or out of season, whether popular or unpopular, whether convenient or inconvenient. I have been preaching about the Catholic Church's moral teaching every Sunday of October, how Jesus asks us to live our faith And it is only by his abundant grace and divine assistance that we are now in our 10th year and can once again reflect on another series of essential moral topics. Now, in this episode one, I would like to make some introductory reflections on love and faith. A longer reflection on love and a short reflection on faith. First, on love. Some people have said to me in the past that the October Pro-Life miniseries is not loving. Father Cook, you're not being very loving when you preach on these topics. Let me tell you a little story. This week, one of the little kindergartners came up to me and said, "Do you love my kindergarten teacher?" And I said, "Well, yes, I do." And he goes, After laughter and giggles, I say, "I love you too, Jimmy." Of course, he's only five. He believes that love is only romantic, is about having feelings for somebody, some type of emotional attachment. But we know that that's not what real love is. We know that real love has nothing to do with the emotions or the passions. Real love is in the intellect. It's in the will. Real love is this: I will your good. I will your good. That's what real love is all about. And so it is true to say, like I said to our little kindergartner, yes, I love your teacher, and I love you. It's not about emotional attachment. It's about wanting what is good for you. And so I really do love my people, and I really love you. What you will hear will not always make you feel good. It may not always make you warm and fuzzy and tingly inside. It may not be what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. It may be very difficult. But I really do love you. I really do want what is for your ultimate good, not for your temporary happiness. You see, love and truth go together. Love and truth are two sides of the same coin. They always must go together. Truth without love is harsh. It's just rules. It's just an abstract body of knowledge that is not connected to a person, you see? There's no personal relationship. Truth without love. Love without truth is just a bunch of lies. It's not love at all, but just stuff to make you feel good. We need both, truth and love. Jesus is both. Jesus is both truth and love. He is both the truth, for he says, "I am the truth," but he is also love. God is love. And so in every homily, but especially in October, I come to bring you Jesus, who is both the truth and love. I come to give you him and him alone, and not me in my own opinions. In our reflections, I try to think of myself as a good parent, since you call me father, right? I try to think of myself as a good parent. And what does a good parent do? A good parent says, "Okay, curfew's at 11 o'clock. Ugh. Curfew's at 11 o'clock. I want to see you at 11 o'clock, not a second later." Your parent says, "Eat your vegetables, clean your room, brush your teeth, wear a jacket, it's cold outside, do your homework." Are your parents being mean? Of course not. Only an immature person would think that their parents are mean. your parents are not being mean. They love you, which means that they want what is for your ultimate good. Sometimes we can be spiritually immature. Only an immature person would think that Father Cook is being mean. No, I love you. Your mother, the church, loves you and wants what is for your good. These teachings are really for our good. Maybe this image will help. This is my favorite image for my own priesthood, and especially for what happens during the month of October. You know, as a good parent, as you're cooking and you're preparing dinner, as one of your little kids gets close to the stove, you go, don't touch that! It's hot! Right? When they get close to the stove. You can see there's a sense of urgency in the parent's voice. The parent might raise their voice a little bit to warn the child of the hot burning stove. But if the child should burn himself, a good parent will kiss his hand, put some first aid cream on it, and bandage it up. This is my image for the priesthood. This is how I am from the pulpit. I'll say, don't do it! It's dangerous! It's going to burn you! Don't do it! If I raise my voice, it's not because I'm angry, but because there's a sense of urgency in my voice. I don't want you to get hurt. But if you crash and burn, if you fall due to human weakness and sin, then I'm willing to kiss your hand and pour in the oil of God's divine mercy in the sacrament of penance and bandage up your soul after you've made a good confession. For with the Lord there is mercy and the fullness of redemption. Okay. Now, if you're still awake, I said I wanted to say a brief word about faith. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And this is my prayer for all of us during the month of October, that our faith would increase. That what God reveals to us, he would never lie to us, that what God reveals to us is the truth, he is trustworthy, and that our faith would increase and that we would believe what he tells us. Our prayer this October is that our faith would increase and be set on fire. St. Paul says to Timothy, the bishop in Ephesus, he says, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God you have received. To stir the faith into flame, to fan it, to fire up for the faith. For if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We pray that our hearts would not be hardened this October, but that the faith would grow and increase. This past week in RCIA, one wise person asked, how does the first part of the gospel on faith relate to the second part of the gospel about serving a meal and being a servant? It is kind of confusing. And I said, well, this is kind of my simple explanation, but the way I understand it is that faith leads to doing what God wants us to do. That belief in what God reveals leads us to obeying his will. That's what we want this October. We want a strong faith that is on fire for Jesus, so that at the end of our lives, we can say, well, Lord, I'm just a useless servant. I've just done what you asked me to do.